seems to blow my mind. The 11th hour quickly passed me by. Now find you when I think I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Rescue me from hanging on this line. I won't give up on giving you a chance to blow my mind. The 11th
Okay, good morning, everybody. Can everybody start grabbing a seat? We're going to get going here. All right. Good to see everybody here this morning. All right. Hey, listen, I'm glad to see everybody here this morning, and we're going to get going. So I've got one announcement I want to make real quick before. Earth to Emery. Come in, Emery. I want to make one announcement, then we'll get into our birthdays. Of course, you know we've got the Sundays at 5 that'll be starting here fairly soon. And so what they're looking for is some help over in the Adventureland. They're looking for some leaders in that. So if you're not planning on attending the services but would like to help out in Adventureland, they would love to have you help. And it starts on April the 12th. There's a sign-up sheet back here at the back. And so if that's something that interests you, if you'll sign up back there, get in touch with you, and we can go from there. Okay. With that, listen, we're going to jump into our birthdays, and so as I call out your name, we'll get you to stand up. So, Warren Gafford, stand up. All right. And then Roger Isaac, they're the couple that just joined last week. Usually, back, I know they're out of town this weekend. We actually talked to them this week. But so you see them next week, wish them a happy birthday. Joyce Shannon, her birthday was Friday. She's out in where they're handing out the Bibles still this morning. So if you see Joyce, swing by. Her birthday is on Friday, and wish her a happy birthday. Okay, Rachel. I saw Rachel. There we go. You thought switching sides would not work. It didn't work, Rachel. Okay. Well, Cheryl? Sorry.
Well, he's here.
But
I'm sure he's standing up somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Rhonda is not here, and so I don't see Marcia yet. Okay. And Melissa's not. Billy Burke. I didn't see the Burks this morning. Oh, look, what great timing. Come on in. Billy Burke, y'all sit down and you stay standing up. And don't see Joe Glenn. And then, of course, Denny Autries is on the 27th, so y'all can shoot him a note and tell him. So, Wade, why don't you come up here and get us going and see us happy birthday.
All right. Here we go. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday, dear you all. Happy birthday to you. Y'all, whatever. Good, all right. Got a little high there. I'm sorry about that. It's one of those early mornings. All right, well, you know, when I lead music, it's back to the old hymnal because that's the ones I know, and I can sing those. So, are you glad to be redeemed today? Amen, amen. I'm glad to. Let's sing it. How to do the next one. There you go. Thank you. I just needed a little help there. Thank you. Here we go. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. What great words, huh? It encourages so much. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for today. Thank you so much for the redemption that you've purchased for us, Lord. We are humbled by that. You loved us so much. You gave it all that we might have that relationship with you. And we thank you for the fellowship we enjoy day after day, the way you speak to us and encourage us along the way you help us. And you just minister to us day by day. We thank you for that. We pray today for hearts to be redeemed, that folks would come to know you, that their hearts would be tendered towards you. We pray for the young people who had the journey weekend. We pray that you'd seal those decisions they've made. Let them be strong. Lord, we lift up Brother Zach to you today. We pray you'd use him. You speak through him, Lord, that you would give us the words we need to hear today. We just love you. We just praise you. And we pray you'd help us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before we get started, I want to tell you about a cool little toy that I just got a couple of weeks ago. It is, you know, we all have our little toys that we like to play with. And you know that phrase that the only difference between a boy and a grown man is the price of the toy? So I'm going back to seminary, and I'm excited about that, going back for another master's degree. And it took about 4.5 hours for me to decide I needed a new toy to help me get through seminary. So, you know, I put on my little baby face and went to my sweet wife and said, "Crystal, you know, the Lord has called me to ministry. And I need to be the best that I can be. And there's just this computer program. There's this computer software that if I just had it, it would enrich the kingdom so much." You know, I'm just, every card I think I have, I'm just playing it, you know. And I play the family card. I say this will really cut down on the time that I have to devote. I could spend more time with the family. And wow, that was like, at that point, she just kind of looked at me like, "This is really enough. This is really enough." But it's so awesome. I don't usually use that word because I think it's overused, the word awesome. Maybe not in, for the young people, it's overused. I was going to say maybe not for your generation. I thought I might insult you. So the longer you speak, the more you realize you need to just use the filters and don't let some things out. Oh, gosh. But anyway, I just came up here to start by telling you that I have this really great computer program. That's what I wanted to say. And that's awesome. Thanks. Oh, mercy me. This is not how I intended it to start this morning at all. Just get to it, yeah. Groovy? I use that word. I use that word. There's this really cool college student that every time he sits, like if this is the hall, he sits on the front row right on the edge every time. And his name's Jason, and I always say, "Hey Jason, how are you doing?" Every single week he says, "Swell." That's, he's bringing that word back. I like that word. Anyway, let me get back to my computer program. Here's the neat thing about it. It has the biblical languages component to it. It has commentaries. It has illustrations. It has all these things. And I'm already using it lots and lots and lots. But what I found is, and I think this is kind of an experience that we all have when we get something new, we use it for a couple of things. And I have come to realize that this software is so great or amazing or awesome that I will never be able to exhaust its abilities. And so what I have found is that I'm using it for this purpose and this focused purpose and this focused purpose, but I'm not really tapping into all that it was supposed to be. And as I began today, as I began a series on prayer, I thought to myself, what a perfect illustration. Maybe not for you, but for at least for my life. Well, here's what I find in my life. I find that I'm a prayer, okay? I pray, and I pray on a consistent basis. But I find that the purpose and the occasions that I pray is very focused. I find that I am in oftentimes a pattern of prayer, which is not bad in and of itself. I mean, you know, I wake up, I find myself praying in the morning, saying, Lord, direct my steps and all that the morning prayers involve. We, as a family, we certainly pray together. I find in preparations, I pray. But here's what I have discovered. I have discovered that if I go back and look at my prayer life over a month or 3 months or 6 months, here's what I think. I think that I'm praying at the same times about the same things. And that my prayer life isn't really, it's consistent, it's Christ-honoring, I believe, but what I have discovered is, and I think I discovered this because I'm putting together this series on prayer, I think I'm discovering that while it is consistent and Christ-honoring, and I think biblical praying, it isn't really, it's kind of like that computer program. It's very focused, but I'm not tapping into everything that it could be. So part of my journey in preparing this series on prayer is to help me get out of that rut. I mean, I'm praying for lost people, yes. I'm praying for my family, yes. I'm praying about the things that I'm teaching, yes. But as I just started praying this and I was looking at texts in the Old Testament that talk about prayer, why they pray, how they pray, what they pray, and I looked in the New Testament and did the same thing, I just kind of got this unrest in my heart where I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to pray profound prayers that are meaningful, that just expand my prayer life. And I don't want it to be where I pray at the same times of the day for the same things. And not that those same things are bad things to be praying at, but I just want the Lord to open up in my heart this hunger to pray for everything that we could possibly pray about. And so that's the motive that I come to this class this morning and say to you, we're going to take some weeks from my teaching time. We're going to do several weeks on prayer. So this morning, we're going to start out in a passage in 1 Timothy. So if you have, I think this is helpful. If you want to make notes, there's a sheet for you to make notes, and feel free to do that. And if you get bored, then you've got on the back, there's a wide open space for you to draw pictures and doodle. And so you just use that page however you want to. But this morning, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, just the first couple of verses. And can I just say, we're not going to cover everything there is to cover. In fact, we may not even say everything there is to say about these four or five verses. I think we're looking at four verses this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We cannot be exhaustive with the topic of prayer in one sitting, in one class. And in fact, if we spent 6 months studying prayer, I don't think we'll cover everything. So we're going to cover, over the next several weeks, lots of different prayers. And we're going to look at different places in the Bible that talk about prayer. But I just want to go on the record right now to say, I don't insinuate to you that we're covering everything there is. So there's a lot of extra studies for you to go do on your own if you like to do those types of things. But let's look at the passage. Let's look at the scripture, and let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That's the passage that we're going to study this morning. And we're really just going to let the Scripture guide our understanding of prayer and our call to prayer. And you see it very clearly when Paul says, I urge, he's talking to Timothy, I urge, first of all, I urge. And then he goes and he gives a variety of ways to pray. And so let's just put those up so that you can see them. And they're right there in the passage. You've got supplication, you've got intercession, and you've got thanksgiving. Now remember what I said at the beginning. This is not exhaustive. Are there other ways to pray besides supplication and intercession and thanksgiving? Well, certainly, certainly. There's prayers of confession. There's prayers of worship and adoration. There's lots of different ways that we can pray, but what I want you to see is that when Paul writes to Timothy, he gives him a variety of ways. Supplication. Supplication is making requests. You have intercession, which again is standing in the gap for making requests, and there's a lot of dialogue, discussion. Depending on what book you read, sometimes there are arguments over how similar or how different those first two are, supplication and intercession. That's a good question. It'd be something worthwhile for us to study. We can come back at the end. If we cover all the material today, maybe we can come back and we can talk about the similarities or the differences between supplication and intercession. But both of those at least involve going to the Lord and making a request. Asking the Lord to do something. In other words, thanksgiving. This doesn't take a ton of explanation, a great deal of explanation, but it's a prayer of giving thanks to the Lord. Here's why I think it's important for us to notice this in the passage. Two reasons. Number one, it was important to Paul. He said, Timothy, I want you to understand that there are many types of prayers and many ways to pray. And he lists them for Timothy, and so I think it's important for us to list them and to make note of them. This may help us as we begin to expand the way that we pray. Maybe you find yourself, as you reflect over your past month or 3 months or 6 months of prayer, you discover all I ever do is ask God for things. Well, here's what's going to happen today. You are going to get the opportunity to expand that. You are learning something this morning that's going to enhance how you pray, because it's going to remind you that there's more than one way or method to pray. So if you find yourself this morning only going into the presence of the Lord and asking God for things, maybe this morning, through the Scripture, the Spirit is teaching you that there's more ways to pray than just to go to the Father and ask. Maybe you've heard sermons about this before. The one that stuck with me the most, I think it was because I was a new father at the time, but the pastor was preaching one time. We were on vacation. We went to one of the churches there in the town that we were vacationing in, and the pastor was preaching on prayer. And he said, you know, he did this deal, raise your hand if you're a father. And I think Caleb, our oldest, had just been born. He was like a month old or something. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a father, you know. I'm a new father. I'm probably had my hand higher than anybody else. I'm a father. I'm a dad, you know. I just had a son. And he said, I want you to imagine if the only time your child ever spoke to you was when he or she wanted something. Right into my heart. And part of the reason was because I really didn't have experience with my son coming to me. He didn't speak yet. He didn't know. He didn't speak English. He didn't speak any language except for child gibberish, you know. And I for a moment, I tried to imagine what would my life be like is as my son Caleb grew up, the only time he spoke to me was when he wanted to ask me for something. And I think just because of the season of life that I was in, that set in my heart and probably will linger there for the rest of my life. And I say that story just to suggest to you, if the only time we talk to the Father is to ask Him for something, then we don't need to stop asking God for things, because I think the Scripture teaches that we should go to the Lord. Paul says to Timothy, make supplication, make intercession. I think it's appropriate to do that. But let's expand how we pray. In other words, I don't want you to feel bad if you go to the Lord every morning and bring Him this long list of things that you need for Him to supply. I think that's great. I think it's great for us to have the perspective that we can go into the presence of God and say, Lord, these are my needs. This is what I need You to do in my life. I'm interceding for this. I'm offering prayers of supplication for this. That's good. But let's expand it. Let's expand it. Let's make sure that when we go into the presence of God, it's not only to ask God for things. Maybe you are on the other side of things. Maybe you never go into the presence of God asking Him for anything. Maybe you give the Lord thanks, which is excellent, but you have slipped into this pattern of prayer where you don't intercede anymore. And you don't pray. You don't pray prayers of supplication. That can be for a number of reasons. One of the primary reasons that we stop asking God for things is because of pride. We think we can do for ourselves. I don't need to ask the Lord anymore for my daily bread because, you know, I get out there and get it myself type of thing. And I don't need God to supply this, and I don't need to intercede for that because I can do that myself. Another reason sometimes we stop interceding and praying prayers of supplication is because we have been convicted of it in the past, and somebody like myself gets up here and says, if the only time that you pray is to ask God for things, you need to start praying for other things, and that convicted your heart. And so you went from one extreme to the other extreme, and you said, okay, I'm not going to ask God for anything else. And for 6 months, I'm not asking God for anything. I'm just going to pray prayers of thanksgiving. And I don't really know that that's what the Heavenly Father intends. I think He's looking more for a conversation. I think He's when the Lord extends His grace to us and calls us into relationship with Him, I think that is the heart of God. I think that the Lord is honored when we're so close to Him that when we wake up we say, good morning, Jesus. Just want to say I love You. And then as we prepare our day and we say, oh, I need this provision, Lord. It's me again. I need this provision. You know, I don't think that it needs to be one or the other. And I think Paul agrees with me. Or I guess I should say I agree with Paul. He says, I urge that a variety of prayers be prayed. And so I share this with you because the Scripture teaches it. But it is an excellent reminder for us that we need to just review our prayer life and see if we're praying one thing or one type or one model over and over and over. And as we study the Scripture, as we go through this little series on prayer, we're going to discover there's way more ways to pray than supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving. Any questions on that before we go to the next section? Or any thoughts on that? Disagreements? So we're just going to follow the passage. We're going to let Paul say what Paul wants to say about prayer. And he starts out by saying, I urge that a variety of prayers be prayed. And then he goes on to say that there's a lots of people to pray for. And in my mind, he goes through this progression. He starts out by saying, I urge that prayers be made for all people. And if you're like me, you read that passage and you go, my goodness, that's a general statement. I'm kind of a specifics guy. I'm kind of like a details guy. So, you know, Crystal and I, we come together to communicate And let's just say, for instance, if she says, "Zach, I think you need to help out more around the house." Well, in my mind, I immediately say, that's a general statement. What exactly do you mean by help out around the house? You want me to pick my shoes up off the floor? I can do that. You know? Are you talking about scrubbing toilets? You know, what are we talking? We have to be specific when we're communicating. And Paul gives this really general prayer assignment. He says, I want you to pray prayers of supplication and intercession and thanksgiving. And you say, well, I can do that. Okay, Paul, who do you want me to pray for? And then he throws this out there for all people. I taught this the other day in a group of young adults. And in my class that I teach, it's kind of like this. You know, I really value feedback. I enjoy questions. I enjoy dialogue. I know people don't show up to church to listen to a lecture, so I don't like to feel like I'm lecturing. So I enjoy the feedback. And one of the things that's, you know, essential in the young adult generation is technology. And what I've discovered is they're going to look at their phones no matter what. So you might as well incorporate it. So what I do is I tell them, if you have a question, text it. And so while I'm teaching, if I'm teaching and it hits a nerve for them or they have a question, what they'll do is they'll text me a question. So I was teaching the other day, and I taught this. And I started talking here, and I thought my phone was ringing. I mean, they were just blowing up my phone. They were texting. I had a family member who was sick, and there was a phone call about that. The texts were coming in. They were just coming in and coming in. And almost everyone, without question, without fail, it was this question. How do we pray for all people? How do we, like, as far as calendaring goes, right? A lot of us are, we really operate by calendar. How do you calendar time in the day to pray for all people? And so I understand that when we look at this passage and it says to pray for all people, it is just this general thing. And it's almost like you want to say to Paul, if you want to grab Paul by his collar or his, I don't know, whatever Paul, like a robe or whatever Paul was wearing when he wrote you, Paul, what are you talking about? Pray. Give me something specific to pray for, Paul. I want to do what you want me to do, but give me something specific. And it's almost like he heard us say that because he says, for the kings and for all those who are in high position. I don't want to get that wrong. Let's just look back at it and make sure I get the phrase right. Yeah, verse 2. For kings, notice that's plural. So he isn't just saying for the one who is a leader over you. He says for kings, that's plural. He says for kings and all who are in high positions. Now, the way I read that is he says for political leaders, but for all who are in high positions. So this could be pastors. This could be governmental leaders. This could be just people who are in high positions. The way I read it, it says for those who influence culture, kings and all those who are in high positions. And so you see, there are lots of people to pray for. Generally, Paul says we need to be praying for all people. And in our heart, we kind of say that's too general, so give us a specific. So he says for kings and for those who are in high positions. Now, what I want to do is to real fast jump to the bottom of those notes where there's some, I don't know if I call them spiritual growth questions or reflection questions, but I think the first one that I listed was a question. Why can this sometimes be hard? So let's take a time out from teaching and let's talk about this. Because I think that this requirement that Paul is giving to us can be hard sometimes. And I want for us to think about why. What do you think? Why can Paul's urge for us to pray for all people and then to pray for kings and those in a high position, why can that be hard sometimes?
Because sometimes you don't agree with what the king is doing.
You don't like where the direction that this leader is going, and it's difficult for your heart or your mind to get over that, wherever that is, and you, it's hard. It's hard to pray for this. When you look at their actions and you say, if I was in charge, I would do everything completely opposite. It's hard.
I'm on this prayer list, a church prayer list, another prayer list.
You're on four lists.
And when I get all these lists, and then some I know personally that's not on a list, I'm just overwhelmed with, I mean, the needs are serious. They're deep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just lay my hands on them and pray that way. Because I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
It's hard. Not always.
So just the sheer volume of requests that Joyce is saying, she's on four prayer lists, not to receive prayer, but to pray. And the sheer volume of that makes it a daunting challenge to pray for each one. So sometimes it's hard because we don't agree with a person. It's hard to pray for somebody that you're at odds with because of the volume of prayer needs that we see on a day-to-day basis. A hand over here. Go ahead.
You know, Zach, the King James Version uses the word authority.
Okay.
And I think that today, a lot of people just really have difficulty with authority. And you know, to pray for those who are in authority, it just goes against the grain of how they feel.
That's a good point. It's an excellent point.
Don't lie.
You know, that is about as real of a response as if you didn't hear in the back, he said, because we don't like them. Is that not true or what? It's true. I know it shouldn't be the reason that we don't pray for people. I'm not condoning that reason. But if you have a list of people that you love and a list of people that you don't like, and you say, which am I more inclined to pray for? The answer is evident. The answer is evident. Yes.
Probably going to throw a monkey wrench in this, but
if you throw a monkey, I'll just dodge it. We'll just keep going.
What about the prayers of like David, preparatory prayers, where I'm looking at the passage right here, where he says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak wickedly against you. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred and count them my enemies."
And that is prayer. Which goes back to the first point. If you're making notes, look at that first section. Here's the good news. There are prayers of supplication. There are prayers of intercession. There are prayers of thanksgiving. Paul doesn't say that you always have to pray prayers of thanksgiving for your kings or your leaders. In fact, what I find myself praying most frequently these days are prayers of intercession. Lord, I pray that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would draw Congress to yourself. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would radically save our president. I mean, that's the prayers that I'm praying these days for our leaders. And sometimes what we think is when the Scripture says we have to be praying for our leaders, we just think with tunnel vision, thanksgiving, we just have to pray prayers of... We don't have to. In fact, I need to pray prayers of intercession before I can pray prayers of thanksgiving. I mean, I just have to get it out. I just have to say, Lord, you already know my heart. And you already know how I feel about our authority. And so I'm just going to tell you, Lord, what you already know. I am begging you, God, to shake to the core the souls of our leaders. That's biblical.
No, it's not. It wouldn't be an error for me to pray for the defeat of those who just won't come to Christ.
I think that it is fair to say that there are many, many ways to pray. And I pray for those who don't come to Christ. My prayer is that the Lord would draw them to Christ. That's my prayer. That's what I'm praying. But the point that you make, and you make point just by reading Scripture, how can you not agree with your point? The psalmist prays against people who are against God. I think that's a legitimate form of prayer. Absolutely.
David was a man after God's heart. He was being very honest. He prayed all the time.
Yes.
And like what you were saying, that's an honest prayer. That's communicating with God.
And here's what he's saying. Is it not, isn't this what he's saying? God, they're against you. Would you just defeat them? That's what he says. Yes, sir.
Sometimes it seems like the more you pray, the worse they get, or the worse things happen.
That's true.
And it sometimes it gets, you almost give up.
Yeah.
But it just seems like things are getting worse.
Yeah. I'm a college student who was walking with the Lord and then got a job and worked around the wrong people, and they just started kind of leading him to the wide path. And it was just a horrible thing to watch. And I was praying for him. And I mention this because this is just right on with what you said. Sometimes you pray for somebody and it's like things get worse. Saying, Lord, I was using every fancy word that I knew to use. Lord, would you captivate their heart? Would you arrest their attention? Every way that I knew how to pray, I was praying. And this kid, I say kid, he's like 19 or 20 or 21. He's just walking further and further and further. And so I prayed the weirdest prayer that I've ever prayed. I just said, Lord, you know my heart on this. I pray that he would run as fast and far away from you as possible. Because it's only when he gets to that point will he wake up like the prodigal and come back. I said, if it takes him getting all the way out, then Lord, may that just be as swiftly as possible. And I don't know. That's the only thing else I knew to pray. You know, we're talking about praying prayers of intercession and stuff. And it was strange to me to say that. That was what was in my heart. Okay, if this kid is going to run from you, God, let him get to wherever he's going now. Let him just go. Let him drink from every fountain that will not fill him up, so he will come to his senses and realize, I have walked away from my source of life and joy. But you're right. Sometimes you pray and they're just continuing. That's a good point. And I'm not saying you should just pray that. I still don't know if that was the right prayer to pray or not. I mean, you can tell me what you think, but I didn't know what else to pray. I had prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally I just said, okay, Lord, I give him to you. If he's going to run, let him go. Let him go. Let him figure out what he needs to figure out, because he's not listening to you or to me or to anybody else. Just let him go and let him drink the sand out of those fountains so that he'll thirst and come back.
And thank yourself for time.
Yeah.
I mean, we can find time.
It takes a focus of priority, doesn't it? Absolutely.
I'm going to say an example of, like this man said about David was like us. You know, just think about the possibility of you're chased into the woods, the guy with a rifle, you know, what was the prayer like?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and day after day after day, it's just like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to remember Psalms is written, well, a lot of it written by David while he is running around the mountainside of a man who's trying to take his life. It's a good point, yeah. We have to remember his situation. Here and then here and then here. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think when he talks about authority, it's important to remember that everybody is important.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about our political leaders. But, you know, my prayer is that God would bring godly people into their lives.
Yes.
And from an authority standpoint, you know, we have authority, you know, just go every day. Think about people you touch that have authority over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talks about over authority, he's talking about your boss, he's talking about that policeman that stops you for speeding. He's talking about all those people in authority that are directly in our lives where we can pray.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Rod?
Why is it hard? live in a culture, and regardless of our generation, we're all impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissistic about me. I'm very busy.
Mm-hmm.
But our spiritual life, in particular our prayer life, is a discipline. And we kick against discipline. Scripture teaches to pray at all times, to always be in prayer. But how do you do that? It's where the soul really touches the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We need those times where we have a holy of holies in our home to set aside to be on our face, to be laid out before the Lord, cry in prayer. But as we go, it's so easy to pray, but it's a discipline. And that's something that gets in the way. We literally things push it out, loud about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lack of sensitivity. And I'm speaking for me.
Yeah.
A lack of sensitivity. Like someone shares something that, you know, not far prayer, they're just talking about the situation in their life, but for all people everywhere, there's the rifle approach and the shotgun approach. And they're both important. But are we ready to receive and bear the consequences? As Cecil was saying, things continue to get worse. Well, God's ways are higher. I don't have to know the answer, but I want to. I was talking to someone this morning, but actually we pray, and we're praying expecting, and things just don't happen the way we want them to happen, so it discourages us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at this point.
Yeah. That's a good point. And hopefully we'll be able to address even that last point that Rod made, that we pray with expectation, and then when results according to our liking are not produced, we get discouraged. And that is a great tempter to stop praying. And how do we work through that? It's a good point.
Okay, you started a story a while ago.
What story was I telling?
About that boy.
He came back to the Lord.
All I want to know.
Yeah, he came back.
Well, you did, but you didn't tell us. I mean, I thought maybe your prayer just went up in the air and didn't work.
Yeah,
he did come back.
He did come back.
That's a good story.
Yeah. So now I'm just praying that the Lord will keep his soul arrested and captivated and all those words.
Yeah, you know, what you're talking about is like a lot of parents with their kids. Kid gets in trouble, the parents run over and try to get the kid out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
What he keeps doing is, a lot of kids think that right there is a norm.
Yeah.
Now he can do anything and get out of it.
Yeah.
And same way with prayer. You know?
Yeah.
If you're a Christian and you go off in Wonderland, if you really are, you'll come back.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
And so, and that's maybe anything.
Yeah.
So, that's the end of my philosophy.
Appreciate it. Yeah, he last week we had a good conversation, and you know, he said he's back, and I haven't got to just sit down with him one-on-one for him to explain exactly what that means. But the fact that he even walked into this building is a good thing. So, several reasons to pray. We will probably conclude with this. Several reasons. And I don't want to fabricate these. I want these to come from the Scripture. So again, we're just letting Paul say what he wants to say to Timothy about prayer. And we're gleaning from that. First of all, it's a command of Scripture that we pray. Paul says, I urge you then. Now, that's not a suggestion. That's not a wish. I mean, the language is so clear. Paul says, I urge this to happen. Now, if we wanted to cross-reference this with other places in Scripture, I would point you to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in one portion of his sermon, he talks about doing the right things for the right reasons. And he says, when you fast, don't do it for the wrong reason, right? He says, don't do it so that people will look at you and go, oh, wow, they're so holy, you know? He says, don't do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And he says, when you give, don't give so that everybody will look at what you're doing and saying, you know, they're so righteous and holy and they give. So, he says, do the right thing for the right reason. And he also uses the example of prayer. And he says, when you pray. Now, what's the implication? that we're going to pray. Yeah. And he says, when you give, implication, we're going to give. When you fast, the implication is that you're going to fast. And so, even in the mind of Jesus, it's not a matter of, do I pray or do I not? It's a command of Scripture. There are times in our lives, my life and your life and all believers' lives, there are times when we treat spiritual disciplines, like Rod had mentioned, he used the word discipline, prayer is a discipline. There's lots of spiritual disciplines. There are times in our lives when this discipline or that discipline gets treated as a non-essential. So think of going to a cafeteria. Think of going to a cafeteria and going down the aisle and saying, I'll take this and I'll take that and this and whatever, and then you come to this little section and, you know, for some people, they enjoy the entree portion, but the dessert section, that's an optional thing. For some people, it's not optional, it's just got to happen, you know, I mean, that's part of a meal, but I'm thinking of a cafeteria situation where everything is optional and you just pick and choose what you think is the very best for you. Maybe not the very best, but the tastiest. Okay, let's just be real. And sometimes we treat prayer like that. Like, I'm just going to add that when I have a little hunger for it. But it's something that I can just pick up off, and or if I don't need it today, I'll just put it back on and I'll just keep my tray going. Or That's not the biblical view of prayer. Prayer leads to something glorious. Prayer is something that connects us to a living God.
But in that line of thinking,
please,
don't you have to guard against a canned prayer? Saying, no.
Yes. Yes.
See, that to me is not meaningful.
A formulated prayer?
Yes.
Sure, absolutely. You have to guard against monotony. But at the same time, sometimes just having that habit of when I wake up, I pray. It may not always be the same.
Right.
You know, here's how I learned to pray. God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. I probably have prayed that prayer 750 million times in my life. That's an exaggeration, but you know my point. So, I could say that with my eyes closed. That's a joke. With the Bible software, it doesn't come with a section for jokes. I'm on my own with those things. But here's what it taught me, though. Yeah, it was from rote memory. It was monotonous. And when I prayed it, sometimes I was just praying it so I could get to what's in front of me. I mean, all of that is true. But here's what it taught me. It taught me that before I eat, I thank God. And so later on in my life, I was able to branch out and start praying prayers with a little more spontaneity. So you're right. You do need to guard against just this rut way of praying, which is what we want. That's how I started this morning's teaching, is saying this series should bring us out of that. Absolutely. So, you know, it's not cafeteria style. Prayer is not something that we pick up on days that we're really hungry for God, and in other days we put it back and let the next person pick it up. It is a command of Scripture, and if we're not treating commands of Scripture as commands of Scripture, if we're receiving them as suggestions instead, we're not handling the Scripture the way that God gave it to us. Another reason to pray, right from the Scripture. It leads to a quiet, peaceful, godly, dignified life. Paul says that. Let us pray for these people that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, godly and dignified. Yes, ma'am.
Can I just share something I've learned?
Please.
Willie O. Rogers, who's passed away, a former missionary to the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
and she encouraged me to pray the Scriptures. And that really helps you to get started in your morning. If you can't think of how to get started, like today, and I usually like to pray Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 8, today's the 8th. It's wonderful. You start praying like, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And when you pray the Scriptures, it just starts getting your heart ready to start thinking about who you're talking to.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, you can't go wrong with the Word of God.
And it gets you into the Scriptures at the same
time. That's exactly right. And if you struggle with this fear that I'm going to say the wrong thing to God, if you just pray back the words that God has already given to the human race, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong speaking to the Lord what He spoke to us through His Word, inspired and inerrant Word of God. Absolutely. Good point.
Recently, I learned a lesson from my grandson. He's about 15 months old, and we took him to the Houston Zoo a few weeks ago. And his reaction to the different animals was just—he was just in wonder, in amazement. He raised his little hand and said, "Oh!" I think that's a lesson. We can get to the point where we get so caught up in all the problems that we need to pause and reflect and praise God for the wonder of His creative order.
Mm-hmm.
The heavens declare His glory.
Yeah.
We take for granted this planet that we belong. And it's He gave it to us to live on. We have to praise Him for all the things that we see on a daily basis that mm-hmm. we don't even notice.
Yep. Prayers of praise and adoration. Yeah, there's many, many avenues of prayer, or ways to pray, or types of prayer. Absolutely. Yeah. May we never lose the wonder of what it means to live in God's created world and in relationship with God. The wonder of it all is that He came down and made a way for us through Jesus. You need to know that. You need to know that the only way to the Father is through Jesus. The last reason... Oh, I hope that's enough. I hope that last reason is enough for you. Look at that last verse. Just allowing Paul to tell us what he wants to say about prayer. He says, praying this way, verse 3, it is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Listen, if all I could say this morning is pray because it pleases God, that would be enough. And if that reason is not enough for you, I don't know how to fix that. I think you need to somehow find your way into the presence of God and rediscover the glory and the majesty and the beauty of who the Lord is, God our Savior. If knowing that prayer is pleasing to God is not enough for you. I know that Paul said a lot and we wanted to look at everything that Paul said, but at the end of the day, why? Because it pleases God our Savior. I think that is reason enough to pray. Two of the reflection questions we didn't get a chance to dialogue about, I will entrust them to you to take them with you and just think on it. And you can be like our young adult ministry, could text questions if you want to, or email me, or we can dialogue. But what a great kickoff to a series on prayer. Next week, if you're interested in reading ahead,